What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucette here. Today is Wednesday, April 7th, 2021. Welcome to the First Mint, a podcast where I cover marketplace trends, big sales, and everything going on in NBA Top Shot. And honestly, it's been kind of a slow week. We're in maintenance today. No pack drops yet this week, but we are expecting big things, and we're going to recap those today. And we're also going to talk about my thoughts on content in the NBA Top Shot space, because there is a lot of excellent content being made these days, way beyond the boundaries of the First Mint, and it's awesome to see that. Also, our feature today is going to be an interview with Tyler Hayes, who is a tech journalist who's written for a lot of publications, and he put out a piece this morning about the design of NBA Top Shot moments. He was lucky enough to talk with the Dapper Labs team about why those moments look the way they do and how they got there. So listen for that in the second half of the episode. I want to remind everybody here that none of the content on the show constitutes trading advice in any way, and that this show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Dapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and blockchain. This is the First Mint. Well, with very little activity happening so far in Top Shot, and perhaps by the time you are listening to this, there will have been some action, maybe some pre-order news or something like that. But as of this recording, there is not much going on, which is fine, because that's just going to lead me to do what we love doing on NBA Top Shot and the First Mint, which is speculating on what's going to happen, because that's, you know, it's really a sit and wait game. Every day in Top Shot feels a couple years, that whole narrative. And I honestly love just kind of like looking ahead. I think to me, that's kind of the strategy I use, is I think about what will happen and how that's going to impact my moments. Although right now you can't do much because the marketplace is still disabled. I'm just staring at it now. Anyways, here's what's coming up in the next couple weeks. We know that gifting will return. We've been promised an update on that on April 9th, which is Friday. I believe it will return that day as well. What's it going to look like? We don't know. This morning, Taylor Stein put out a really great blog post about a specific account and how it had been receiving gifts from like 55 what appeared to be like ghost accounts. So clearly some evidence being unearthed now by the community in terms of how gifting has been abused. Clearly that account, maybe not the most honest account that's out there. Anyways, what is gifting going to look like once it returns? Well, a few possibilities. One, it could be a tiered access, as in, you know, whatever activity you've done in the past qualifies you for a certain amount of gifting. So, you know, if you're a brand new account, you can only gift twice. If you've been around for 3 months and you've done all this marketplace activity, you can gift 10 times a month or as many times as you want. That's totally a possibility. I think having people graduate to different tiers in Top Shot for both pack drops and gifting is something very likely to happen. Other activities that could qualify you for a certain amount of gifting is buying and selling on the marketplace, as well as just having done challenges, which we know has been floated again for pack drop requirements. It could also be just a general know your customer KYC identity check for qualifying to be a gifting account. As in, maybe it'll be something like when you start your account, you can only gift five times with it, maximum five times. So you have to be careful with it, but you can still combine with your friends if you're new to it. However, to get past five times, you'd then have to be KYC'd. Obviously, right now, there's still an enormous backlog on the Dapper side in terms of getting people ID checked, but ideally within a month or two, or especially by the time the playoffs start, that has changed. So again, that's something that we could see a roadmap laid out for in terms of the future of gifting. I know a lot of people got screwed on the last couple challenges because they had, you know, made some deals with their friends that they were going to buy different moments and gift them to each other. And I know a lot of people wrote into me that they weren't able to do that because gifting was disabled for the end of those challenges. I don't know what to tell you. That's not great, but ideally this new gifting rollout will alleviate any future pains and also make it very clear as to when gifting is allowed and when it's not, and also clear as to when it's going to be disabled, because that last one caught us a little bit by surprise. Other stuff to look out for. We're expecting an update today about this giant pre-order. There's over 325,000 packs, so that's almost a million moments that are going to hit the marketplace probably this weekend. That's probably why the marketplace is under maintenance right now, is to prepare for literally 300,000 packs being dropped into people's accounts simultaneously. Last time there was a pre-order, all of them hit people's accounts like within a two-hour span on a Friday night, which was actually quite impressive from the Dapper side, so really cool. Once those moments hit, I would keep my eye out on commons, these Series 2 commons, a lot of them that have come out in these newer pack drops, they are going to pass that 50% supply threshold. Again, we don't know if they're going to be limited at 35,000. Some of these moments are getting kind of old and stale at this point, so hopefully a lot of them do get limited and we actually see new stuff soon. But again, these moments, they're going to hit kind of a critical point in their supply. For me personally, once you know a moment gets to the like 50, 60, 70% release threshold, that's when I start to look for some nice deals. What I've started to do in the last week or two is actually go through all those moments that are in Series 2 Common that haven't been fully released, so all the 35,000, even some of the newer 12,000 and 4,000 rookie first moment ones. I start to look at those and actually look at moments that I like, either good players or just really interesting plays, and start to think about which ones I'm going to target. Usually the best time to target moments, and we all know this, is after packs actually drop. So think about this, like let's pretend it's a scenario, it's Friday night or it's Saturday afternoon, all these pre-order packs are hitting people's accounts, there's a million new moments, a lot of people just kind of want to sell those things, they start to sell them for 15, then 10, then $5, maybe some really great opportunities, who knows, we might even see some $1 moments in the very near future. So again, you know, great opportunity right now, and again, marketplace is down, to maybe purge your account as well of some commons that you don't want in anticipation of maybe scooping up some other ones. Like, you know, I used to have like five Josh Greens. Josh, good player. I don't need five. I only need one or maybe none. So I've started to kind of reorganize my account in terms of purging some moments I don't want in order to kind of raise a bit of cash to be ready for ones that I do in these next commons that are coming out. And of course, the other thing to think about is what's going to happen with the rest of these commons. Even if a lot of them are at like 75% of their supply after this weekend, that's still a lot of moments that are left. Of course, these moments are usually used to fill out, you know, legendary packs, rare packs, Cool Cats packs, Cool Cats 4, something else we should look for very soon. So the rest of those commons likely to be slowly rolled out over the next month. Maybe we'll see some new commons as well. The last thing to look out for that we have been promised is a legendary pack drop. We were told it was going to be mid-April. Today is April 7th, so that should be in a week's time or so, maybe even sooner. Maybe we'll get some information on that soon or see them minted on Crypto Slam or Top Shot Explorer. We've had two so far this series, which actually isn't very many when you think about how many there were in Series 1. Of course, there's still a lot of time to go in this season. We still have the whole playoff slate coming up, so there's plenty of time. This one, I would say, is very likely another holo icon drop. Can't say that for sure, but again, there was a lot of holo moments in Series 1, and there aren't very many yet so far in Series 2. We're also seeing the final challenge of the current holo icons being run right now for Jokic. So I would say that, you know, holo being a staple set, being a core set, if you listen to Monday's podcast, you know what core sets are. Being a core set is something that is very important for Top Shot, and we should see more of those this year, if not in this next legendary drop, then sometime really soon. Also, there's a lot of players out there who don't yet have a legendary moment. Thinking of some of the rookies this year, we could see a LaMelo, a Halliburton, a Wiseman, some of those guys minted into legendary moments. Even think an Emmanuel Quickly legendary moment would be pretty sweet. He has a lot of plays to choose from. I know there's a lot of questions around legendary drops, like how much are they going to cost? Last time it was $1,000. Who knows how much it'll be this time? What are going to be the players? We just went over that. What's going to be the mint count? What kind of sets are going to be? Hollow, not hollow? I don't know. My biggest question actually has been, what are going to be the rare moments inside? Because if you've been around for a legendary pack drop, you know that every single legendary pack drop also comes with three metallic gold moments inside. We saw this for Holo Icon. We saw this for Deck the Hoops. We've seen it for literally every legendary pack drop, back to Lace Them Up and all that other stuff. There's going to be three moments that are rare in the next legendary pack drop, but we haven't seen anything minted. Typically, again, it's metallic gold, but is that going to change up? And of course, are we going to see more metallic golds get minted in anticipation of that legendary drop? I don't know. Basically, what I want to know right now, what I'm keeping my eye on, is what moments are going to be made. I'm glued to Top Shot Explorer, Crypto Slam every day just to see what else is going to get made, because that's going to tell the story of what else is coming down the pipe. So before we get to the feature with Tyler, I do want to talk a little bit about storytelling. You know what's funny is in the last couple days, I've actually been at a bit of a loss for what to say, because Top Shot's just kind of like at a weird point. You know, I gave my thoughts on Monday about why we're in a reboot and everything that Dapper's done in terms of making things better and why, how things are going to get better for the playoffs, all that kind of stuff. And after that, I kind of felt like I was like, I don't know really, you know, what else to say? I've spent the last couple weeks a little bit sidetracked. I've been planning the future of the First Mint and what our channels are going to look like and maybe some other projects that we look at. Although I love Top Shot, it's going to be hard to look at other stuff that isn't Top Shot. And during that time, you know, I've reflected on where we started and how a lot of this has started with a very simple goal. And I've always been focused on that same goal, which is to tell a story and to add value to the community. I started off months ago just making charts and sending out tweet threads. I was one of the only people doing it at the time because there was only so much interest in Top Shot. And, you know, I would get like 6 likes and that was a huge success. I would also like manually track a lot of random data points that now don't need to be tracked manually, like what's the lowest ask for all the star players across all their sets and all their moments. I'd also like track my own moments in an Excel sheet because there weren't really too many tools to do that. The last couple days, I've been thinking about, you know, what other stories do I want to tell? And I have to say, the stories being told out there, they're an overwhelming amount, and a lot of them are amazing. Every day, every morning, it feels like I open up Twitter, and there's so much content to consume for NBA Top Shot. There's so many people putting hours of time every single day into amazing charts, really great threads, really great streams. Honestly, every night I log on and I'm like, oh my God, like which stream am I going to watch tonight? Do I even have time to watch these streams or rewatch them the next day? A lot of great blogs are popping up. And we even have a lot of pro platforms now in terms of analytics and account valuations. Like, it's amazing to see all that kind of stuff. And the irony there is that it kind of makes me feel like, man, I don't even know what story I'm going to tell now because everybody is out there telling such amazing stories. And what's clear to me is that the community has grown so much and that the passion is there. And even more importantly, that the passion is there during the darkest time, right? Again, Monday's pod, we talked about the reboot. If you've been in Top Shot for the last 3 weeks and you've survived, you've probably gone through what has literally been the hardest time in Top Shot, both in terms of account valuation and in terms of general interest. A lot of people who were stoked about this a month ago, they've kind of vanished. Maybe even some of your friends who were all stoked about what moments should I buy, what should I be doing. Now they're maybe kind of pissed or they're looking at other stuff. And all that to say is that it's great to see all these people telling stories. And for everybody out there who is doing that and everybody who's written to me in the last couple of weeks asking, you know, how do I get started? Can I put some stuff up for the First Mint? Which totally, like, you hit me up with some story ideas. That's totally fine. But my biggest piece of advice is to follow what I've done and what all these other people are doing, which is just go out there and start telling your story. Start talking about the stuff that you want to say. Show that passion. Everybody has so much passion for this product. Get it out there. And I just want to have a side note really quickly outside of Top Shot. It's really great to see a lot of people in the community start to discover other NFTs and to actually use their knowledge of Top Shot in terms of, you know, what good utility looks like and what a good marketplace looks like, what trading looks like, and apply those to other projects in terms of understanding. That is so good to see that everybody has learned so much and can now actually start to explore other projects with that knowledge. To bring us back to my original point, my interest is still in telling stories, and I've been very fortunate in the last couple of months to tell some really cool ones. We've been able to reflect the community back onto itself. We've had tons of NFT collectors and OGs, a basketball player and a basketball executive, total strangers, including a baby that have come on our streams, as well as some of the whales and OGs of Top Shot and some people from Dapper. I love kind of using this as a portal into what the NBA Top Shot community looks like. And today we have a first, we have a journalist on the show, and he's going to tell a story that he investigated about the design of the moments in Top Shot. We stare at them every single day, and maybe you've thought about this. I've thought about it a lot. He's going to talk about his story where he went into, you know, why these moments look the way they do and why the colors are the way they are and also what to expect in the future. You're going to hear my interview with Tyler Hayes about the first story that he's written on Top Shot and probably not the last. If you want to find the story, go into the First Mint's retweets. We retweeted it earlier. Otherwise, have a listen. Everybody, we are on with Tyler Hayes. I hope that's how I pronounce it right, Tyler. You can correct me after. He is the man behind the article that you may have read today about the design of the Top Shot moments, a topic that I've been very interested in for a very long time, because I've been staring at these moments for a very long time and curious about what goes into the colors, the design, and why they exist. Tyler, welcome to the First Mint. Tell me if I butchered your last name.
You did. It's Tyler Hayes, but
Hayes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my bad. Sorry, man.
No problem.
Do more research. This is too many long hours staring at Top Shot, clearly. How are you doing, man? How is this? I'm assuming this is one of your first pieces about Top Shot, if not your first piece, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm currently like a product reviewer for Newsweek, but still do a few pieces for other places like Wired and PC Mag. So ever since I got into Top Shot in early February, I kind of had my eye on how I could write a piece or dig into this company more. So here we are.
Here we are. How did you discover Top Shot? Like, was it through normal, like obviously through the boom, but what was like, do you remember the person or the tweet that you first saw about it?
Yeah. So my friend Josh Ong got me into it and saw him mentioning these moments and different things, and still waited a couple weeks after I had initially seen it to sign up, but once I did it, it's pretty addicting. And so I come from it more from a tech standpoint of being curious about the technology and some of these elements of it, and it really rekindled this like basketball card trading time from my youth that I think a lot of people can relate to that of having those cards and then, you know, as life goes on, you stop doing that. But having that kind of collector mentality come back a little bit, I think there's a big feeling with that. And so, you know, I'm not the biggest NBA fan, and these moments have gotten me more interested in the NBA based on that, which is probably the reverse for a lot of people, but there's definitely that aspect to it.
Tell us about your collection before we get into the piece that you've put out today. Tell us about what you got in your collection, because I'm dying.
Yes, well, probably based on the fact that I'm not the hugest NBA fan, like I don't have the best return on investment on some of these moments, but I've slowly been accumulating a lot of the Cool Cats. You know, I think that is a fun series or fun collection type. And so I just finished the latest Cool Cats challenge, which was probably not the best investment, but it was fun.
Do you know which number you got for the Jokic? Because that was the reward on the last one, right?
Yes. 6655.
Okay.
Almost at the end.
That's, I mean, it's still the reward.
Yes.
You know, that's almost the last mint, which would have been good as well. But how does that, I mean, okay. So before we actually get into the piece, like, you know, as a relatively new collector, you know, you're let's call it a intermediate basketball fan, NBA fan. How does it make you feel when you do the challenge and then you get like literally at the end of the line in terms of the serial number?
You know, like so far, I don't have any hard feelings on the serial number stuff, but you know, I don't have very many good ones. And so, you know, I don't have any, very many low serial numbers. So that's something that you always feel kind of like, anybody who gets like 100,000 in the queue line knows the feeling of like, they're out to get me, but you know, clearly, the randomness of it is just there.
Yeah, totally. So you're not getting any kind of queue line bumps now
no.
for writing this piece, or maybe you will now. I don't know. We always joke about that. I was talking about the Jacob Paxson influencers, but I don't get nice spots in the line and I just talk about Top Shot all day. So I hope it happens for you though.
Yeah.
What you were telling me before, you know, have you had any nice, like, I guess you could call them snipes or good pickups outside of your challenge reward?
Well, so I did join, you know, before the huge end of February bump, sales increase. I was in the system before that. And so my first purchase was a Bruno Fernando at the time, just a common card that was, basically it wasn't limited. And I bought that for $1 on the marketplace. But then, you know, that became a limited edition. And, you know, I think it sits somewhere around $15. And so, that one has a special place just because it was my first one.
What about your Crypto Kitty? You told me about that too.
Yeah. So the Carl Anthony Towns one lucked out with having a Crypto Kitties account back in the day. And so my The reason I've been able to acquire some of these other moments is for, I sold one of my Karl Anthony Towns Cool Cats for $750 when it was, first available, and I think now they're going for around $100. So,
My God.
lucked out on that one.
Hey, good for you,
And
man. That's
basically,
awesome.
it just goes back into the system, and then, you have your chance to acquire some other ones.
Let's talk about the article. And I want you to kind of talk us through it, because maybe not everybody's seen it yet, and I think we can probably get even a bit more color through audio. But before I actually ask you about it, are there any designs that when you first kind of stepped into the Top Shot, what were your initial impressions of the designs, and are there any specific sets or ways that things are done that caught your eye?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that is so makes Top Shot so relatable is that these moments are very recognizable, that it's there's something familiar about them, even if you don't know exactly what it is. It's very polished, it's very, and as soon as somebody gives the analogy of like a basketball card, it's very easy to imagine these moments as like these little cubes that you have. And so, I think the design team did a really great job on basically taking something digital and making it feel like it is familiar and almost like it's accessible. Like you can, it's your, you know what it is, that it's this 3D cube. And so, yeah, I think they did a really good job on making something that is recognizable and fairly accessible in that way.
Tell us more about, what the Dapper team told you about designing these to look the way that they do and why they did that. And also something I'm really curious about, to add, tack on a second question, is if you can give us any other insight into the part where, the relationship with the NBA and the Players Union, and how that relates to like designing a tech product with so many parties involved, which I feel like is probably always a bit of its own little social experiment.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the big takeaway from that I got talking to Courtney and Alan at Dabra Labs on the design team was basically that these moments are very well thought out. That they at this point they've been working on how the look and feel of these for years. That it's something that is not haphazard in the way they these look. And so there's a graphic that goes along with the story. That shows a little breakdown of the different elements of the moments. And so even I think even some collectors might not pick up on the subtleties there of the different lines are the colors of the team, that there's they always rotate in certain ways, that there is players are the highlight, the team logo is always present, or if there's a special series. There's a lot of different elements that go into these things. And so, and these are all very well planned out and stuff like that. So, and then in terms of like the relationship there, I think there are a lot of stakeholders. I think that it's, even though Dapper Labs is the one designing these and making these moments, that they still have to work with the NBA, with the Players Association to get sign off. And, I think that there is, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and so it's interesting that I these moments have been kind of pushed in the way that they have, I think, because the NBA only partners with certain companies for certain verticals, and so they already had a basketball card partner that was making these physical cardboard pieces, and Dapper was kind of forced to then think outside creatively, how can we take something digital and make it new? And I think that kind of worked in their favor, where they were kind of pushed into thinking about this collectible space in a new way.
Absolutely. Tell me more too. You were mentioning before, and you touch on it in your article about the colors, because the colors is something that stands out to me. I've always wanted to do like a deep dive into maybe more like the social aspect of the colors. Like, do people buy more of one type of color, and like what that palette looks like? But you, it sounds like you got a lot more insight into to how those colors were chosen.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's there's a humorous part in there where Courtney mentions about doing some internal testing with focus groups, and they were kind of taking design aspects from games, and in games it's more items have color based on rarity or scarcity, and they were trying to use some of that to influence how they design the legendary or the rare moments, and in doing that they made one of the LeBron moments green, and they quickly got feedback from these focus groups that like no, he's on the Lakers, and so it should not be green. That does not go together. And so I think that there's that added dimension in color of not only is it in terms of scarcity that helps define this, but also like you all these players have an inherent color that is associated with them, whether people kind of realize that or not.
That's funny. Sorry, I was just thinking about, I was just typing a note about the green LeBron. It's hilarious. I like that. It's so hard to imagine that now, right? That there
Oh,
would be
yeah.
like more of a green shade. Tell us more if you learned anything at all about Hardcourt. And you mentioned it a few times in your article. You talk about the AR VR component. You also talk about these being, and you just mentioned it now, these being prepared to be fit into a game later on. Hardcourt is something I'm getting so many questions on, and I'm trying to, unearth any kind of information I can get. What more can you share with us, or even care to speculate, if you will?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that is in going back to these moments being designed a long way out. These things are shown in very specific clips, but I think that there's a lot of foresight that the team has had in designing these, that they're ready for other elements. They're ready to be shown in other ways besides just viewing it on a website. And so where as it shows up in an app, a game, a VR, AR, whatever it is, that these are going to be full 3D models that you can move your finger across and slide up and down and rotate and use in different ways. And my understanding is that like that type of stuff is already ready to go. We're only getting a peek at how complete these things are already. And so as different technologies or apps or games are get ready, that those will just be seamlessly integrated into those experiences.
Did you get any peeks at new designs that might be coming
I wish. No, they're pretty secretive about that type of stuff. So, the only speculative thing I would say in terms of like future designs was the hint that they have gotten feedback from other artists, whether these are popular artists that people would know or not, they're just fans of, but artists are reaching out to them and saying like, "Hey, can I collaborate with you on future design?" And I think, from my reading between the lines, that would be something that they're probably seriously considering and maybe coming at some point. Where I don't know if it's the full moment that's being designed or there's just little embellishments that other artists are contributing to it. But I think that is a way to bring in fresh looking designs.
That's exciting too, because I mean, a lot of the art to me looks, like it's relatively similar, right? Which is good. Obviously, it's got to be consistent. But I've always been curious of like, what is this stuff going to look like in 5 years? Is that design, like any brand, is it going to evolve? And will we look back on the Series 1, Series 2 stuff as being out of date in a weird way? Because design preferences change, right? So I always wonder how that's going to look.
Yeah, my guess is that same thing. Like I was interested in that and kind of going down that path. And I think from talking to them that is they wanted to have this is the foundation, right? And now from here it grows. And there will be other things that come along where there's badges or these other parts to the moment, or there's the moment expands in some way. But going back, that this will always be like this foundational aspect that you will recognize, and it will always be familiar. I think is a sense I got that 5 years, 10 years later, that they are considering the next decade of moments when they're designing these now, and so they'll get better, I think, in some ways, but they won't be they'll still feel like moments.
Is this the first NFT project you've covered?
I've looked into some music stuff before, and I think that that is very close, getting closer. But I think that this is just far and away the most accessible NFT thing going on right now. It has a very easy on-ramp for people who are sports fans or just curious about the technology, that it's very accessible.
If you had to do another story about Top Shot, what would it
Putting me on the spot here.
be?
No, I think I think that there's even more here. So at some point, I'd love to hear get a even more deep dive on some of these designs, and the NBA has to approve all the stuff that they share, and so they weren't willing to talk about whether they explored making these moments as a like in the shape of a basketball or some other like crazy design. But I think that there's a lot more there that on how these things were planned out, that is would be fascinating to find out.
If you had to pick like any other store of intellectual property, right? Because that's the way I look at the NBA stuff is like we're going to be able to tap into, the archives of the NBA eventually, if not already. If you had to pick another sport league and or anything else like Star Wars or whatever, which one would you pick to be made into a great NFT project? Maybe not the exact same thing, not like highlights in a marketplace or whatever, but just some other kind of, that brand is going into the NFT space and they're putting a lot of money and they're getting a lot of investment and they're making something really great.
I am a big baseball fan, and so I kind of wish that MLB would have done this same time or before the NBA, but it's never too late. I think all the other sports leagues are ripe, and I would love to see a Fernando Tatis Jr. home run moment type of thing. That would be awesome. I think that the collectible space is so interesting. That it's right for all these properties, like you mentioned. Even I wouldn't be surprised if Disney is sketching out Star Wars stuff right now.
Baby Yoda backpacks are cool, but you know what's more cool is an
Yeah.
NFT of a Baby Yoda backpack. That's what I always say. What other tell us, Tyler, just a little bit more about yourself. Like what other types of stories do you cover these days? You've been covering this year.
Yeah, so mo mostly it's a anything technology related. Doing product reviews on anything from shoes with Bluetooth tracking in them to battery packs and all types of stuff like that. So that is one area. Also in I think it was February, I just published a long form story on the kind of the history of Pandora Radio. That's over at Vice. That was took some months of reporting, but yeah, most of my stuff is around the tech of this type of thing.
Very cool. If you've listened to my podcast before, you know that we usually end it with a game called Would You Rather? And I've got it queued up for you if you're
Okay.
ready. Okay. And I'm pretty much, I give you two options and then you just have to pick one. And that's how Would You Rather works.
Sounds good.
Okay. Would you rather another CryptoKitties airdrop, but it's a LeBron James moment, or that all the purchases you've made in the last month are in the green?
I'd have to say a LeBron. Even just as a thing to add to your collection, I think that would be cool.
Okay, good choice. Yeah, I also want to say I have a lot of purchases from last month that are in the red. It's just no one's alone here. We're all in the same boat. Okay, next question. Next question. Would you rather a top spot in the queue for every common pack drop forever in Top Shot, or one legendary pack?
This is an easy one. I'd take a legendary pack.
Yeah.
I'm hoping one day I'll hit the lucky number on that one.
We've been teased that there's another one coming in April, so I will check up with you if that does eventually happen, because I'm going to be very curious if we can manifest it. Okay, last one, last one. A one of one, I guess it'd be an ultimate moment, a one of one Green LeBron misprint. And the misprint is the color of the moment. And they messed it up, but somehow you ended up with it. Or you get a chance to be an early adopter of the Major League Baseball crypto game.
See, this is the tough one. I probably the MLB baseball one, just because I do have a love for the sport there. But man, I mean, it's the misprint is invaluable. Whatever you want to charge, you got it.
I just want to see that green design, man. I love that. I love the idea of they were like that the players union was like, ugh, no, or something. I love that. Well, Tyler, it's been great, man. What where can people find you? Where can they follow you?
My handle's Tyler H. Feel free to follow along.
Awesome. Well, it's been great to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
And that is going to do it for today, folks. You can find us on Twitter at The First Minute. And of course, always hit that like and subscribe button no matter what the podcast channel is that you're using. If you like listening to these on YouTube, they are posted on YouTube at The First Minute. You can go over there and give us a little subscribe. Otherwise, I can't wait to see what's going to happen today and the rest of the week. And we will see you next time on The First Minute.